GNC494. It's Friday, July 17th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a partner of the Tech Podcast Network. Thank goodness it's Friday. Got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, you want to check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website as well. Subscribe to the show by either subscribing via iTunes, Zune Marketplace, or using your favorite podcatcher with our RSS feed. That'll be ensure that you get the show downloaded directly to your mobile media player every time the show is released, every Tuesday and Friday morning, Eastern Standard Time. For those of you that are on Ustream, I want to welcome you to the show. We've got a nice little crowd building here, even as late as it is. I want to welcome the faithful to that. And, of course, all of the Ohana. Hey, I want to welcome the Ohana to the show. And really, the Ohana really embodies what this show is all about. We've got a family of listeners. Ohana is a very strong word here in Hawaii. It's a very strong sense of family, and that's what all of you are. And I, want to, again, give that warm welcome to all of the Ohana that have tuned in or listening to the show, whichever it may be, morning, night, or evening, whenever you listen to the podcast. Of course, if you're new, you'll definitely want to get signed up for our newsletter. The newsletter is delivered directly to your email inbox immediately following the show. It contains all of the links that I covered during the podcast so that you can follow along either via the website, via the email that you received, or if you've listened to the show after you've been driving or riding a bus, however you've listened to the podcast, you can kind of catch up and say, yeah, I remember that story. I want to check that link out. Tonight, we got a lot of great stories. It's been a big day news-wise. Got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. I'm looking forward to bringing you all of the tech content. But first of all, I'm on a little bit of a mission. And that mission involves finding a couple of new cameras. And I don't want expensive cameras. You guys know that here in the studio, the camera that's up in the corner of the room is a old Sony Hi8 camera. It's basically capable of putting out a little bit of video via a standard composite out. Then, of course, I've got two high-def cameras that are front directly in front of me, and one a little bit to the left. And then we kind of got our side shot cam that actually this evening is not showing a great shot. It's basically showing the side of me and giving you guys kind of the corner shot of the room looking the other way for those of you that are on Ustream. But what I'm looking for is a camera that essentially I need to add some views to the room. And I'm looking to do this inexpensively, but I want to have some dual-purpose cameras. So I know all of you are out there buying a lot of different audiovisual equipment. So what camera have you bought recently that is capable of having not only composite video, which almost all cameras today are, but also a FireWire? In other words, it can do basically double as a webcam. How many of you have seen it, have got one of those, have got a cool camera, whether it be for whatever manufacturer? And then really, the manufacturer doesn't matter at this point. But I'm looking for a camera that will first double as a webcam and will work within most web streaming apps, or a camera that also has the capability of having a composite out, which most of them do. So if you've got a camera that you bought that has that capability, let me know. Now, what Sony has done is they got real smart. They didn't allow any essentially iLink or any direct streaming of video from any of its consumer brand cameras. Basically, they reserve that for their pro cameras. And it really annoys me. It really does, because some of the stuff I do here in the studio, there's no need to have, you know, for example, the Sony Z1U that I have here that's in the corner being run just as, you know, a camera that I'm using for this webcast and for the basically the live recording portion. So looking for go a little cheaper, keep the hours down on the Mac Daddy cameras that I use for different events that I go to. So if you've got a suggestion, definitely send me an email over to geeknews@gmail.com. Give me the spec, basically give me the model number, and write me up your experience with it, and then I'll check it out online for sure. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and he says, Todd, you have a battle plan. And this is completely non-tech related. And I said, well, what do you mean about a battle plan? He says, well, battle plan would be is if, you know, the economy gets worse and your sponsors dry up and go away, or, you know, basically, or it gets to the point where you really have to tighten, the hatches down and not spend any money. And I got to thinking about that, and I said, no, I don't think I really do have a battle plan. He says, me and my wife have come up with like a 20-step process that they're going to go through in case he gets laid off, things that he's going to do to essentially immediately go from, you know, spending whatever he's spending now to going down to absolute mins. And I thought it was a pretty good exercise. So I was playing around with that a little bit tonight and coming up with the actual dollars I could save and still basically continue to do the podcast, still stream, have internet connectivity, and really about nothing else. And it was remarkable the amount of dollars that could be saved, even going to the point of, you know, looking at the food budget, what's being bought on a monthly basis. And I'm telling you, I'm sure there's a lot of Americans today that are doing this with the down, you know, probably people worldwide are doing this, considering the economy the way it is, have went into a bare bones budget strain. How many of you have done that? Or how many of you are prepared to do that? So I thought I would just kind of share that with you. And basically, it's an economy battle plan. So food for thought and non-tech related, but I thought I would share it with you as well. Now, and the opposite side of the spectrum is great time to buy a car, I think, right? So I'll be honest with you. I have a 95. The last vehicle I had, I sold it. When it had 310,000, maybe 330,000 miles on it. The vehicle I have right now is a 95 Volvo. That's a vehicle that, oh yeah, it's a real classic car that I'm driving. And I think I've got 155,000 miles on it. But, you know, my wife's been bugging me. She says, you know, go get rid of that thing and go get something different. You know, the car prices are best. I haven't shopped for a car in years. I go by a lot and I look at them and keep on moving. Or, you know, if I have a rental car, I drive a rental cars quite a bit and get a sampling of vehicles. But what are you guys seeing out there right now? Have any of you bought a vehicle recently? What is the vehicle that you fell in love with? What kind of a deal did you get? Love to hear back from you as well on that. Okay, started working on Shoko's and I's new food review show. And matter of fact, it's just it's in the very, very beginnings of getting the site up. It doesn't even have a template on it. I think I told you about already that I had been able to obtain localfoodreview.com. I got that site and we put it up on the server. Along with our podcast project folks, we've started to get their sites added to the server and people starting to transition stuff. So we're going to have, within I hope about 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to start being able to reveal some of our podcast projects. Some of the folks that are our 5 winners are working towards getting their sites up and run. I've been a little bit slow on the uptake and getting them going, but so far so good. Now, I'm going to have to open an email here, and I should have had this set up before. The last show, I did not give away the prize, and like a knucklehead here, I have not got the email open tonight, and I need to do that right now. I need to go find Jeffrey's email that he sent me, and with this attachment on it. I know this was on Monday's show, and I apologize. You know, I was thinking about this before I was getting the show started tonight, and exactly what I needed to do before the podcast started. Let me see if I can find it. This is going to be crazy if I can't. Let me look here. So it's later in the evening. All right, Jeffrey, where is your email? And of course, I didn't save it on the. Oh boy, doesn't that just drive you nuts? And he's only got like three different emails that comes into the system that it registers as differently. So I don't know if he sent it to my Geek News or if he sent it to. Oh, there it is. Got it. Okay. So let me go ahead and open this up, and we'll go ahead and give away the prize right now. I've got it sitting back here. I'm going to get up from the chair here and go grab it and show it to those of you on Ustream. And let me go over to my, got that bookmarked on who's actually going to win this thing. Actually do the randomizer. 1 and 50 and submit. And our winner is number 27. It's Steen. Uh-oh. I hope he's not international. If he is, we may have to give him a gift certificate or something. But it's Steen Sogard. You are the winner. Steen, you definitely need to send me an email, and I'll be in contact with you. Geeknews@gmail.com. You are the winner of, and let me grab this real quick. Now, it's not a big prize, but it's a cool prize. It's a Dymo Label Writer 450 Twin Turbo. So let me see if I can put this in front of the right camera so that you all can, on Ustream, can see this. And flip the camera here. So it's basically a Dymo Label Writer. It's one of these twin, you can print labels on one side and postage on the other. So, Steen, I hope you are in an area where you'll be able to use this fully. If not, we'll give you a gift certificate for equivalent value to use on iTunes Store or someplace like that. So congratulations to Steen. He was part of our Podcast Madness winners. And we're going to be having, at the end of the month, we're going to be having a big deal where we're going to have a bunch of prizes to give away. And look forward to doing that at the end of the month. But Steen was one of the entry winners. And let me go ahead and save this on my desktop so I don't lose this. But congratulations to Steen on that. Okay, let me go ahead and move on here. I've already fallen behind on my schedule. One thing I noticed tonight when I was getting ready to put together the get the show going was usually I use my MacBook Pro to run the Ustream side of the things. Basically, the TriCaster's pushing the video, then I kind of used the MacBook Pro as my control panel. It's basically handles all the stuff within Ustream, and I started it up and I loaded a web page and went and load, rebooted the machine, went and load. I think my Mac LAN port has died. And I'm doing this via Wi-Fi tonight, which I don't like doing, so I'm freaking out. Have any of you had your LAN port go out in your Mac? It's not something you want to see happen, but right now, the LAN port's not working. Any of you Mac experts out there, send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Tell me what might be wrong, because I know PCs, but I really don't know Macs that well. Hey, I do want to make a reminder that if you're looking for more tech shows to check out, you definitely want to get over to techpodcast.com and go to the blog, because right now, every week, there's a new show that's basically putting on like kind of a mini show for you where you can actually check out and sample different podcasts, one each week from the Tech Podcast Network. Now, this week's show was put out by one of our podcasters. It's from TPN Weekly, and you can check – actually, it's actually Mike Dell from Geek of the North is the actual show that was TPN Weekly. That's the name of the show. I'm such a knucklehead. And the previous week before that was Jesus Geek, and then the Caffeination Layer was 3 weeks ago. My Geek Week was 4 weeks ago. So there's a good sample there at blog.techpodcast.com. And really all you got to do to subscribe to it is techpodcast.com/index.xml. And that'll get you subscribed to the podcast. But go over there and check it out. Subscribe to this feed and get a sampler of some of the shows we've got going on over at techpodcast.com. Okay, I'm looking at my little list here. Oh, Blog World Expo. Any podcasters listening? Are you going? Are you going to Blog World Expo? Love to hear if you are. In real big time planning stages right now for Blog World Expo. It's really just right around the corner. You know, even though we're here in July, October is just going to happen just like that. Trying to decide whether or not I want to do the podcast awards before Blog World so we can give the prizes away there, or if I want to do it after. You know, basically the timing is such that I'm probably going to be forced to do it after Blog World Expo and New Media Expo. But if any of you are going, let me know. We're going to be planning some cool stuff, some cool meetups, lots of planning going on, and I'll be getting let in on some of the secret stuff here in the coming weeks. Of course, we're fast approaching show number 500. This is 494. We're six shows away from rolling out show number 500. And those of you on the newsletter last night or last Monday were able to get the information on where we're taking PayPal donations as a matching. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up $500, and one of our Ohana, one of our family members, one of the listeners of the show who may be in dire financial straits, at a minimum, we'll get $500 from me, and then whatever we can raise in contributions from the Ohana. So if you're still working, your job's not in danger, if you have a few extra dollars, I'm not asking for a lot, just a few dollars here or there, feel free to PayPal podcast at podcastconnect.com. That's my PayPal account. And put in there $500 show donation, and we'll put that in the pool. We'll have a special blog post with recognition of those listeners that actually contributed. And one of our lucky Ohana will get a cash honorarium. So really, if you're one of the Ohana and you are in, having some financial difficulties, we want you to send us an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Say Ohana family member in trouble, whatever it may be, and tell me what your situation is. I'm not going to be reading those notes on the air unless I am given permission. It's a private thing, and when I announce the winner, I'll do a first name only, and we'll basically keep it as private as we can. Definitely would like to, hopefully hear from that person via maybe the voicemail system afterwards. They just don't have to say too much. But I want to be able to give back to someone in need. And in the times we're in, it's I think this is a good thing for us to do. I'll have some other prizes, tech prizes to give away, stuff I've got stacking up here from vendors and stuff that have sent me stuff to review, books, different types of things. So we'll have that available as well for some other giveaways that are big prize, obviously, will be for the for a needy family. It's part of our Ohana. Okay, GoDaddy.com. Hey, if you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, really, this is a place you should go. If you get over there and you pick out a domain name, pick out one of those other types of products, when you get to the checkout counter, don't friend your good old geek here, Todd, at Geek News Central. Use our promo code Todd, T-O-D-D. They'll save you 10% on most purchases other than .coms. ComSale will save you, basically you can get .coms at $7.49, which is lower than their normal listed price. You can save 15% on orders $20 or more by using the code GEEK5. You'll find all the codes and the different savings you can get via our GoDaddy promo code link at Geek News Central. Please use it. Please share it. Please point your blog post to it. Please Twitter towards it, because that helps me in the long run, helps keep the lights on, which we made a little change in here. So the lights are a little brighter tonight, and hopefully the folks on Ustream can see a little better. They've been complaining about some of the lighting in the actual studio here. I do want to talk about the studio for just a second. I know I'm running long already on just this intro stuff, but what do you guys think I should do to the background? You guys see the background behind me on Ustream. Think any of those of you that are just listening to the show, come over and watch for a couple minutes or so and tell me what I should do with the background, because I want to change it. I want to do something, but I need your guys' feedback on exactly what to do. All right, GoToMeeting. Don't know if we're going to have a roundtable this weekend or not. Schedules are conflicting all over the place. But, one way you can do as a employee working in the business to get ahead. So, many businesses have said no travel. You can do everything by telephone, but no travel. And because budgets are tight. So you as an individual can get ahead of your coworkers by considering a subscription to GoToMeeting. It's the best way to have online conferencing. You know, basically, you just pick up a headset, talk on the phone. They see what you see on your screen. You can do demos. You can do sales presentations. You name it via GoToMeeting. Get the upper edge. And you can get a free 30-day demo to try this out and on your own, in your own office, without having to pay for a single penny for 30 days by going to GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for a free 30-day demo. Of course, you can click on the link on the website or the link in the show notes. Either way, that'll get you to the right destination for the free trial. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. Okay, we'll have some email at the end of the show. And as it's already been way long here, let's go ahead and get into the regular content tonight, because I got a stack of stuff to get through to you. But first order of business up is a Microsoft executive at a conference, at a developers conference, I guess, he was speaking today at the Microsoft Worldwide Partner Conference, and he was telling about a call he got from Apple Legal. Now, this is a Microsoft exec, and Apple Legal was basically saying, hey, we want you to stop running these laptop Hunter ads. They're deceiving. The pricing isn't right. We've lowered our computer prices by $100. So, you know, they were complaining, and he thought it was initially was a joke, and then he found out, through more conversations with the individual, that it really wasn't. Now, would Apple really call? This is where I'm thinking there's, I'm wondering, okay, did they get a letter? Was this guy, I'm waiting for Apple to respond to this to see if Apple really did call. But he was talking, I was doing somersaults down the hallway. I was ecstatic. We've hit a home run with these ads, blah, blah, blah. A little bit of embellishment, I think, on the Microsoft execs point. But here's the thing. As we'll talk about a little later in the show, I think they're having an effect, because Apple's numbers are down on sales, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. All right, Bill Gates, he's saying, Chrome operating system? What's the big deal? Nothing to see here. Move along. He says it's just another Linux distro. You know, this is there's many, many, many forms of Linux out there, and this is just another way. It's just another spin by Google. Very interesting take by Bill Gates. And, as we've heard from Google today, Google in a sales call, I guess earnings call, where their earnings are up 17%, basically told the people on the earnings call that the only reason that they're going to launch the Chrome OS is they want people using the internet more. More internet usage means more page views. More page views mean more revenue for Google. So if you think about that theory and put that into perspective, is it just a ploy for us to be exposed to more advertising? How much more advertising are we going to be forced upon us using the new operating system? Will we probably not be able to block ads? There won't be any tools probably to be able to do that like you do on your current computers. So if that comes in a netbook, you can load some stuff there to stop the pop-ups, right? But if Google's going to roll out a browser OS, you can almost guarantee that there will be anti-ad blocking technology in. It would almost have to be. So what's your thoughts on that? Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. And those of you that are watching me on Ustream, this red drink here is some concoction my wife got. It's pretty tangy. She says it's supposed to give me energy. It's not an energy drink, but I have no idea what it is, except I'm drinking it. All I know is if I fall off here on the floor, and you guys watch that on video, then dial 911. But I don't think she's mad at me right now, so I don't think we have to worry about that. Okay, let's go on here. Over on Gizmodo, and I almost wasn't going to talk about this, but it's a... I've been looking at the ways to optimize the desk here. And I got this big, huge monitor. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. and trying to find a way to just kind of make things more compact. And I found these, there's two 17-inch monitors that are based, they're essentially built into a single mount. And it's by a company called EVGA. It's the Interview 1770. It's a little bit weird. And one of the panels can, and I thought this was kind of cool because I could really use that when I do interviews here in office, is one of the panels can be flipped so that the person that's sitting on the other side could actually see what you're seeing on your screen. So, you know, a doctor's visit, if a doctor wants to go over something, they can use that. A lawyer, you know, who knows? You know, this could be great for one-on-ones, but I thought it would be kind of cool because it will double here as a pretty slick little dual monitor system, but at the same time, it might kind of work a dual purpose, basically being able to flip one of the monitors. So I got to do some more research on this thing, but overall, I'm thinking this might be an option. Now, the price tag on it is high. It's a lot higher than what I thought it would be. It's like $600. So that's going to be a big major decision factor there. But you guys check these out. It's called the EVGA Interview 1770. And they're only 17-inch monitors. So that's really kind of the only the other downturn. If they had put some bigger monitors on there, it had definitely made the sales point a little more intriguing. Okay, let's talk about mobile apps. And, you know, I really don't know why people do studies, but there was a study done that free apps obviously were moving a lot faster than apps that were 99 cents. Do we really need to be told that? Do we really need to know that apps that are free are moving faster than apps that are for sale? Free is free, right? I don't get it. I really don't. And it just goes into some history about how they monetize applications and what they saw with download rates when they actually started charging for it. It's moot point to me. But I really don't understand. I guess it was a slow news day for that website. But one thing that is kind of cool that Google launched today, and this is for those of you that have a 3.0 iPhone, is, well, I think it's anyone who's running a 3.0 version, is it's called My Location. And I actually tested it. I was in Chinatown here in Honolulu today, and I loaded Safari up, and there was a little link on the website that you could activate that said My Location. And, of course, Chinatown has lots of Chinese restaurants. So I typed in Chinese restaurants dim sum, because I love to eat dim sum, you know, usually once every couple weeks or so. And I hit search, and it gave me about 40. 40 Chinese restaurants, but what was cool is it sorted them by distance from where I was at. And so I erased that. I tried a couple more searches. Really cool. Now, I've tried it up here at the house, and we're quite a ways away, really, from, I mean, 5 miles is maybe the way we have to drive to get to a little town where we can get food and stuff. But I put on there, like, milk. And it actually found a market that's much closer that, of course, we know about, but it actually found it within the actual app. So I thought to myself, home run. Home run by Google on this one. It really, really is. And, you know, being if you travel a lot and you go to different cities, worth its weight in gold. This is going to be a big, big feature, because there's many times I get into a city and I'm in a hotel and I really don't know anything. And I think, okay, I want Thai food. And, you know, that way I can go ahead and punch in Thai food or McDonald's or Jack, you know, whatever I'm looking for close. And it's going to tell me where the closest one is. Click on the little button and boom, it's going to show me how to get there. I'm telling you. This is amazing. It really is. And I know there's some apps out there that will do that, but no one has index or search power than Google. Okay. A little chat going on in Ustream. Hey, it's 9 o'clock in the evening here in Honolulu. So I know that there's some folks saying, hey, what's something about the time or so forth. Next thing that Google's announcing today is that Google wants you to fight a beltway battle for broadband. Now, this is interesting. Google's using its power of its very significant community. Now, I don't know how they're going to get the word out on this besides people like me. But Google wants you to help shape the forthcoming national broadband plan. The search giant has created a website, and it's at, let me look if I can find it, with the New America Foundation, where anyone can submit their ideas. People can vote for their favorites, and Google will use its moderator program to manage the entries, which then the company will then submit to the FCC in 2 weeks. So they want to have all of you submit your ideas on the future of the national broadband plan, and then they'll collate those into maybe, I don't know, top 10 or top 20, and this will help them kind of shape what they're going to send to the FCC. So you can make your voice heard over at moderator.appspot.com, and it's got a funny link to it, so I'll have a link up to it in the show notes. You may not find it when you get over that direct link, but I'll have a link to it. So if you've got some feedback on the national broadband plan, this would be the way to do it. Another way to get maybe your thoughts in on what will be presented to the FCC. And of course, the FCC is taking your own comments, so you can go over there and submit stuff directly as well. How many of you are satisfied with your email search? I'll be honest with you. With Windows Vista and my Outlook 2007, there's not much I can't find when I'm using that application. I use Outlook for one specific email account. The rest of the time, I use Thunderbird for all my email. And what I find with Outlook is it's much, much better in finding email than what the search is in Thunderbird. And it's real simple. You just go up in the corner, you type real quick, hit enter, da, 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 da. It finds the topics that you're looking for. Thunderbird, you got to open a search, got to, you know, do some other things. And many times what I'll find is because all of my Thunderbird email is IMAPed to a Gmail accounts. My Raw Voice account, my regular Gmail account, and some other domain accounts are on Thunderbird it's an IMAP account back to either Google Apps or Gmail. I find it much easier just to go to Gmail or log into Google Apps and find the email. It just does a better job. I'm not real super impressed with the Thunderbird search feature. But Xobni, X-O-B-N-I, they're the makers of an Outlook add-in. A smarter inbox, have released a bunch of premium features in a package called Xobni Plus. And what it does is it adds advanced search tools to your desktop, including the ability to build advanced search queries, search within conversation and networks, and create Boolean searches. It's $29.95. So if you're not happy with your search, this would be the way to do it. But, you know, I don't know. I'm happy with the stuff I find in Outlook. I'm not happy with the stuff I find in Thunderbird. So why don't they make this for Thunderbird? I don't get this. Why they don't have an option for that. So I won't pay for a search item in Outlook, but I would definitely pay for one that's better in Xobni. And I'm sure what I'm going to get is about 50 emails tonight from people saying, hey, Todd, do you know you can add this specific search add-on to Thunderbird and it makes it much better? And I'll probably find a good one from these comments. But if you're a Xobni fan, X-O-B-N-I, and I believe they're at Xobni.com, you can go pick one of these up and jury's out yet on whether or not it actually increases the search capability of your inbox. Now, Angelo and Brian, two of our guys that part of our team at Raw Voice, always ask me, why do you use Thunderbird? Why don't you just use the online system? You know, I like my email available to me all the time. And I know you can do an offline feature with Gmail and with Google Apps. I know you can do that. But, you know, I can archive stuff very easily from 2009 to it's very simple for me to manage my email when it's within an email client. But I understand many of you probably don't ever use an email client anymore. You do everything online. So kind of a straw poll tonight, I'm kind of wondering, and maybe I could just take two entries. If someone wants to call the voicemail hotline, say, Todd, I am a committed Thunderbird or Outlook user, and this is why. And if you are on the opposite spectrum and you are a committed webmail user, this is why I use webmail and webmail only. And basically, that's what I'm looking for, two opposing views. I'd love to hear from you. +1 619 342 7365. Let me know what you're give me some feedback. Because I rarely answer email on the web. I just don't do it. I answered within my mail applications, Thunderbird or Outlook. So maybe I'm just older. I don't know. Okay, let me go ahead and switch the view there. All right, over on Web Worker Daily, and this is a blog that's part of the GigaOM network, which I did not know about, and I added to my reading feeds today. If you do a lot of work online, and this is me, I mean, I am online many hours of the day, and I live, breathe, and, you know, basically I sit in front of my PC way too much, and it's just, you know, part of the thing I have to do is the way we run our business. But if you want some cool apps to add to Firefox that will help your productivity as a web worker, definitely check out the Firefox add-ons that they're suggesting here. I'll have the link up to you in the show notes. I found a couple pretty good ones here, a couple that I was familiar with already. Grease Monkey, if you guys didn't see the last Tech Podcast Roundtable, or was it the one before, we had a great segment on Grease Monkey and totally sold me on Grease Monkey functionality within Firefox. But there's a whole bunch of information in here that will find you some plugins, I'm sure, some add-ons that you can add on to Firefox to make yourself more productive. All right, today is the anniversary, or actually yesterday was the anniversary of Apollo 11 landing on the moon. And those famous words meant spoken by Neil Armstrong. Also today, NASA released revised videos. So I'm going to have a bunch of links in the show notes tonight. The first set, and this is all in conjunction of the Apollo 11 anniversary here, is that it was 40 years ago. Now, many of you probably weren't alive 40 years ago. I was, but I don't think I was old enough really to remember. I think I was 5 at the time. And but Boston.com has some really awesome pictures. And some of these you've seen before, some that you may not have. And, you know, you look at these guys and you look at, you know, I'm looking at a picture of Neil Armstrong and look at how young he is. Now, I know what Neil Armstrong looks like today. And boy, I'm going to tell you, yes, you can definitely tell he's 40 years older. But some great pictures here on Boston.com and some exciting pictures. It's amazing where we've come in 40 years. Of course, the Space Shuttle Endeavor finally got off the pad on Wednesday. We'll be rendezvousing with the International Space Station today and finishing out the Kibo laboratory. I guess they're putting a porch on it. Why do you need a porch on a space station? Are they going to go out there and kind of like stand and look around? Are they going to go out there and fire out the barbecue? You know, some of the stuff they add to the space station, I know it has a scientific function, but why don't they call it a scientific platform instead of a porch? Because it really kind of makes you go, huh. But so, you know, here we are with a reusable vehicle. We're about ready to retire. We're about ready to go into a new era of launch vehicles. We've, you know, actually we're going back to our roots because some of the new launch vehicles are going to be very similar to, you know, the Apollo missions and the super rockets we had back then. And, but this Boston website, The Big Picture, it's got some cool pictures on here. I have this link up in the show notes. Got some videos up on Wired, and you can check that out as well. Hey, there's a good blog article over at blog.brandtackyourself.com. Now, this guy was really digging for a domain name. And I think he probably could have done a little bit better job. But at blog.brandtackyourself.com, if you're buying a domain name, never buy a domain name with a dash in it, okay? Never, ever, ever. That's bad stuff to do when you're buying .coms. Essentially, what it is it's basically talking about your brand and how you can react if your brand is tarnished. Now, what it shows is two pictures of Robert Scoble over in London having a good time. And he looks like he's drinking a little champagne directly out of a bottle. Got on a little bit of a wig. And, you know, there's, you know, Robert, you can tell, is having a good time. All right. And these pictures made it to TechCrunch or somewhere else. And, you know, I know Robert. He's a fun-loving guy, has a great time. Wherever he goes, is fun to hang out with. And really, his brand is not damaged. But if you were looking for a job, if you have some pictures on MySpace or you have some pictures on Facebook or somewhere that get published that maybe are not so flattering, they talk through some steps on what you need to do to kind of do some damage control. And it's really simple. You know, you just say, yeah, you know, it happened. You know, don't overdrive and make it worse than it is. And, you know, keep it cool and have fun with it, okay? News coverage is always good depending on how it's spun. And there hasn't been a person that's of adult age, very few people of adult age, who are legally able to have a few cocktails. They haven't got into a few situations from time to time when, if pictures were taken, you would probably be embarrassed if they were online. So this is some good damage control tips here, and probably good for all of us to review in case we get into that situation. All right, Google Reader's made some changes, made some improvements. They basically have added some social stuff, and I didn't get a chance to look at this real close tonight because they offered it up and said, hey, 11 of your friends are sharing information. Do you want to see it? And I'm like, sure, but I didn't have really time to go dig real deep. And that's something I haven't done in Google Reader lately, is I haven't been sharing links that I find, and I need to start doing that. I need to start tagging articles I find for the show and share those in advance, so those of you guys on my RSS feed for the link blog would be able to, you know, just get that stuff automatic. You essentially get the show notes for the show via RSS. And this is kind of an interesting mix here. What they've done is they have they've allowed you to find people that you're following within like Gmail and so forth. And if they're sharing information in Google Reader, then you can actually follow that information that they're sharing within the site. But you automatically have to be connected within Gmail or one of the other apps with it that Google has. So I have this link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. I don't think this is really going to grow quick because there's I'm not logged into Gmail enough to follow people over there, you know, because you ever want to see your details or whatever, and I don't just do that. So I don't know if that's the correct word for Gmail is follow, but, you know, it's basically they can see when you're online or in the app. And I've probably got like 20 or 30. I just don't get into Gmail enough to do it. So we'll see how this takes off. I guess it all depends on your utilization of some Google products. All right, I've been reading, you know, Dave Weiner, for a number of years, has basically said the RSS spec, the Real Simple Syndication, everything that you guys use to subscribe, basically what has made podcasting possible through the enclosure tag within RSS feeds, has said for a very long time that the RSS spec is locked in. It's locked down. And he is starting to talk about it makes it appear here that he is starting to talk about some either improvements or some additions to the spec, which would essentially allow for more of a real-time interaction of news and information. Because really what happens now is your RSS reader is only as good as how often you update it, how often you tell it to go out and see if there's new articles out there. So they're making, it looks like they're talking about making some XML RPC calls that basically said, hey, by the way, I put something new up. Go come check it. Check it now. And the application that we would have would go out and say, oh, yeah, I see your new articles. Here it is. And when you put something up new, we'd basically broadcast to people they're subscribed to as well. So this is kind of interesting here. And for the techies out there, may want to take a look at it. I'm trying to get to the bottom of exactly what Dave is up to, but I thought Dave wasn't going to do anything more with RSS, or maybe he is starting to look at some of the suggestions other people have and maybe kind of, buying into it. I don't know. All right, imagine that you arrive at your place of work, you walk into the building, and the PC that houses all of your corporate documents has been stolen. You would call the police, right? Say that a robbery has taken place. Someone has stolen my server. They've got company proprietary information. Well, hopefully that server has good enough passwords that no one can get into it. Well, the folks over at Twitter called security, except they really didn't have anyone to call because their infrastructure was hacked by a hacker some months ago. And basically, the hacker got access to their Google Docs account via a weak password that an employee had. And he was able to go in and download a boatload of sensitive information from the company. And that hacker, packaged that all up and sent it over to TechCrunch, over to Michael Arrington's website. And, of course, Michael, I'm sure he got this stuff, and his palms probably started sweating. And he went to work and said, hey, we got the information. We're going to start, teasing us all, saying we're going to start posting this stuff. And basically what they have resulted, what the folks at TechCrunch did, was that of the 300 confidential documents, they went through and cut and paste a whole bunch of information from different meetings, talking about strategy, terms of service, API, talking about partners, talking about how they're going to manage the masses, whether or not they're going to get acquired, talking about Facebook, Microsoft. Fascinating read. And for a guy that runs a startup, which I do, I'm looking through some of this stuff. And I'm like, wow, that looks like some of our conversations. And of course, we, being a corporate entity, have a secretary who keeps notes of all our meetings. And probably I know they look a lot like this, kind of one-liners of summaries of information that we talk about. And I use that stuff all the time to go back and look for historic data. And I'm looking at their stuff and I'm thinking to myself, what happens if our stuff was compromised? It would not be good. And you're only as secure as your passwords. And it blew me away that part of their administrative backbone for some of their servers. Now, Michael was nice enough to send the folks over at Twitter an email and say, hey, you better change this one server's password from password. if I had a server on our network with a password to password, Angelo would get an airplane, come out here to Hawaii, and probably beat me to a pulp. I won't say how we have our password security, but it's significant. But you look at Google Docs, it's only as weak as the weakest link within your organization having access to those documents online. And all it takes is one account to be hacked, and you're done. But this is a very amazing read. It really, really was. And I think to myself, wow. And, obviously you can tell that they're really forward-thinking, doing a lot of cool stuff here. But it's a fascinating read. I can only say, read it if you want to. It's almost too good not to read. And they basically, he didn't lay all the cards on the table, but they talked a lot. One of the things I said is Twitter has the goal of having 1 billion users. And that's a pretty significant number to be able to hit, considering where they're at right now. All right, Financial Times. It's one of the magazines that I pick up from time to time. I usually read it in the airplane when I'm flying, if they have it available. They don't always have newspapers available when I fly out of Honolulu. But if they do, I try to grab the Financial Times. That's when I get, when I use points or 500-mile coupons to upgrade my tickets from coach to business or first. But there's a good article here that the Financial Times editor is saying that most news websites are going to be charging for content within a year. And I think this guy's off his rocker. How many of you, the New York Times tried this and it didn't work. How many of you would pay for CNN, Fox News? How many of you would pay for Forbes? How many of you would pay for, of course, you already got to pay for Wall Street Journal. How many pay for New York Times? How many of you would pay for any online news site to get access to? Would there be something? Would you just not read them anymore? So love to hear your feedback on this, but I don't think this is possible. All right, a little bit of information out. For those of you that are Palm users, Apple's closed the loophole. And unless you, if you upgrade iTunes, you'd be aware that you will not be able to sync your Palm with it anymore if you upgrade iTunes, okay? Stocks have sank after Apple shut the door on Palm. And, you know, obviously did it for their own reason. You know, they got a closed platform. They don't want anyone inside that walled garden. They want us all nice little happy campers using their product. So, you know, the Palm tried to press that base a little bit, but they knew they were going to get burned. They knew Apple was going to do that. So, you know, negative press for Palm for sure. Palm would have been better spent to come up with their own application, I think. Electronicista, I guess that's the name of it. This is a strange domain name. Apple has dropped to fifth in U.S. computer sales, just barely. They barely slipped into fifth. Toshiba clipped them out of the fourth position by a single decimal point. So comparison of 7.7 to 7.6. Dell seems to be on top. They list the Dell, HP, Acer, Toshiba, Apple, and then all other vendors. So that's how it kind of falls out. But that's interesting that their market share has slipped here. And I'm sure it's part to do with the economy and the price of their product for sure. All right, Microsoft, to stab Apple in the eye a little more, is going to be opening retail stores near Apple this fall. So it looks like Microsoft is definitely stepping up the volume here and competing. And I think this is a smart move by Microsoft. You know, a lot of the big companies have, you know, your CompUSAs, your Circuit Cities, they're gone. You may have a Best Buy, but I think it's smart of Microsoft to bring in partner PCs and stuff and open up their own stores. It makes a lot of sense. It really does. So we'll see how many they do and whether it makes, you know, the effect that they're hoping it has on Apple and making them possibly have to compete. How many of you think the advertisers are watching tweets out there? How many of you think they're doing searches and looking for their product name? I can tell you they all are. And some of these third-party applications that you're using, they're watching your tweets and they're serving you up ads based upon what you're tweeting. So watch those third-party apps if it's basically ad-supported. If you tweet something and see an ad that's related, don't be surprised, okay? Hey, imagine you get your Visa card bill in the mail, and it says that you've made a $23 quadrillion overcharge. I guess a huge number of people. 13,000 people got charged exactly I don't even know how to read this number. 2,314,885,530,818,453,536. That was the overcharge. What did they buy? New York City? Oh, my goodness. So there's been some speculation on how this happened, but people have had to spend a couple hours on the phone with Visa getting it straightened out. You think that they would just fix that? All right, the FBI has charged satellite descramblers under the DMCA. I guess there's a new group out there was called ViewSat, have been getting ready to sell and charged with conspiring to violate the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. They're going to sell these boxes, essentially would be able to hack Dish Network, and you'd be able to get Dish for free. I don't know how this slipped underneath my radar. I hadn't heard about this company before, but if I don't know if they even started selling anything yet. If you have a ViewSat satellite receiver and you bought from this company, you can absolutely be guaranteed that if the FBI was able to capture any type of sales information off this, you will be getting some sort of a letter or call, or someone will be busting your door down. So be very aware of this, okay? ViewSat satellite receivers. There's a bunch of people in jail over that. All right. There's 12% of us out here that have actually tried to buy stuff from spam. How can that be possible? This is shameful. This is a report that's been released by some studies being done. But the Messaging Anti-Abuse Working Group shows that there's just enough people responding to make spamming worthwhile. 12% of us are doing stupid things to cause you know, the spams to continue. Now, thank goodness Google's, you know, I have all my email pretty much coming through Google Apps or Gmail, and they've done a pretty good job in battling it. So, so far, so good. But we'll keep an eye out and see how it continues to, how they continue to battle it. But come on, you know, educate people. Please, please, please educate your friends, families, people you know, people that are not so computer smart, you know. Tell them to be careful out there, okay? We can stop this if we all work together. All right, the Apple App Store has hit 1.5 billion downloads. This is the cash cow that just keeps on giving. 1.5 billion applications. That is just simply remarkable. All right, remember we talked about FON, F-O-N? And as a matter of fact, I have a FON Wi-Fi device here. I think in the entire time I've had it online, it's basically what it does is it allows you to operate two Wi-Fi signals, one for private use by me, the owner, and another for public use so the owner's network isn't compromised and people can get on the internet. So I have a FON. I've run it forever. It's been here. I don't know if it ever gets really used. The version I have, I don't think gives me any logging or anything. But the Fonera 2.0 router is available in the United States. The unit is priced at $70 US. You can get it now. It's available. So, you know, if you want to help out your fellow man and put up hotspots, especially if you live in cities and stuff, hey, put up a Fonera 2.0 router. And people have to register. They have to log in. They got to provide some information. So, you know, it's just not like you're opening up a open hotspot and making it available. People still have to go through a couple of steps to get on. But you can actually make money by doing it as well if you want to sell access. So there are some risks with that, and we've talked about that in the past before. All right, well, the Endeavor crew did do some looks at Endeavor for damage. No reports on that yet, although they think there was some stuff that may have struck the underbelly of the shuttle through some of the I was actually watching the replay. I missed the actual live launch, and I could see some stuff that looked like it kind of had busted off the big tank there. So, you know, you guys know that big tank, the way they jettison that, it still has they still are really under control of that tank. And what Mission Control does is they guide it. They actually have booster or little rockets on it, and they actually put it in a trajectory that actually burns it up in the atmosphere. And so, you know, the space shuttle's climbing out pretty steep, you know, and it gets into its orbit, and when it separates, they actually push the nose over on that tank and actually cause it to burn up, so it's not doesn't end up as space junk. And I didn't know that until yesterday when I said, what happens with that big tank? And I couldn't remember. I think I knew it one time, but I wanted to follow up on. Hey, any listeners up in Alaska? I guess there's a 15-mile-long blob of unknown gooey, probably organic material floating past communities on Alaska's North Slope. The U.S. Coast Guard sent some pollution experts out to investigate. They determined that it was not an oil spill or other type of pollution, but were unable to determine what it was. A sample is currently being analyzed by experts in Anchorage, and I guess the blob is following the current northwards. Well, you know, I'm sure there'll be all kinds of conspiracies on this. They got a picture of it. It looks pretty yucky. It's probably was something in a bilge of a ship, and someone drove through and pumped it out. That's probably what it was. But, you know, hard to say. We'll see what happens. RIAA has lost a bid to keep revenue secret, so hopefully in a case that's coming up that is the Sony BMG Music Entertainment versus Tenenbaum, we're going to be able to see what the earnings are of the RIAA since 1999. It's something they're going to have to make public, and we'll get to see that when this case gets underway here shortly. All right, journalists are again demanding that Google give up its fair share to newspapers. You know, Google needs to tell these people to go away, because Google is already paying the AP and all these other companies for access to their news. Why do these journalists keep bashing on Google? That's the question I have. Over on Wired Science, spy satellite sea ice images finally made public. I guess some super high-resolution spy satellites have been imaging sea ice at the poles for a long time, and these images have been sent to a select few scientists on Earth. And, of course, they're in outer space, Todd, yes. But I guess a few hours after the National Academy of Sciences recommended the intelligence community should release and disseminate all Arctic sea ice, they started releasing some of it. So I guess there's some value in sea ice, but they're going to make it available to scientists. So I'm sure we're going to see lots more information coming about sea ice and breaking up and global warming and everything else that goes along with it. Of course, I said I had some videos from Apollo 11 from Wired. I'll have those linked up in the show notes. Of course, they're making their rounds on the internet as well. But here's an interesting one I found on talking about Google Health. Google Health is inviting people to store end-of-life wishes at its free online health records management service. Google Health has made available advanced directive forms on which people can specify what they want doctors to do or not do in the event they are too ill or injured to express their wishes. So this is an interesting proposition here. You tell your family, all my directives and wishes are on Google. And this advanced directive allows to doctors to make decisions that if you're in a capacity that you where you can't make your own decision, and this would be if an accident, if you're brain dead, or you know, whatever it may be, this is pretty cool that they've done this. And if you don't have a directive on file, make it easy for the ones that for those that you love, and make that decision and have it on a piece of paper for you, whether you do it here or through a traditional lawyer and have the documents drawn up. It's a good idea to do it. Good idea to do it for everyone. And you know, when I was still in the military, I had before I went off for after 9/11, I'd actually written a, I guess it was a letter. And it was the hardest letter I ever had to write, and it was pretty extensive. And speaking of my wishes, letters to my children, there was a lot of stuff in there, a lot of soul searching, a lot of things to say. So I had basically planned that, you know, I gave this letter to my mom. It was sealed and taped up, and she knew that it was not to be opened unless something happened to me. And so it was basically kind of that type of a deal. It wasn't a legal document, but it was just a personal letter back to wife, family, kids, the whole nine yards. And try writing a letter like that. It's very, very difficult. It really, really is. But I think this is a good thing that Google's done here. We'll see how the public reacts to it. But anyway, that's all on the tech news I have tonight. I've got a lot of stuff for you, though, that actually, I don't know how much email there actually is, but I know we got a voicemail. Let's go ahead and play that one first, and then we'll get into the email, and then we'll wrap up and get everyone out of here. So doing pretty good on time, considering how long I went in the beginning of the show. So let me go ahead and fire this email, a voicemail. I have not reviewed it, so you guys are going to hear it for the first time as well as I do.
Yeah, hi, Todd. This is Chris from the UK.
Hey, Chris.
Long-time listener, just been listening to show, what was it? 493. Interested in your comments about Windows 7, and you're looking forward to it. I can understand that, but I must say, you know, you asked what we thought, and I'm not really bothered at all, because you know, round about the old Windows Genuine Advantage time and the issue with some security patches that weren't necessarily security patches, Microsoft lost me. I switched sides, went to the Linux community. I've been using Ubuntu Linux now. Since that time, it took a lot of pain to get up and running with all the applications I needed and so forth. But I tell you, I wouldn't switch back now. I am really happy with Ubuntu Linux. And I also use it on my netbook, you know, which is a great portable platform. And I find that meets all of my mobile needs. So, no, I'm not really interested in Windows 7, my friend, but I'll leave that one with you. Keep up the good work. I look forward to the show every time. And I'll speak to you soon. Goodbye.
Hey, thanks for the call, and thanks for being a longtime listener, part of the Ohana here, the family. You know, really, my experience, as I have said, has not been a negative one with Windows Vista. Not at all. I really, in all honesty, I don't understand. I work between XP and Vista. Matter of fact, I have machines sitting on my desk, one XP, one Vista, right here. I use them interchangeably. I use my Mac a lot. It's kind of all the same. And I'm excited about the new operating system just for the simple fact it's a new operating system that I've been playing with it as well. And really, I don't see, and I understand that the people have made the switch to Linux. And those of you that have, I congratulate you. But in the business world and trying to be interop with most business applications, you know, it's very, very difficult to make that switch. And I know some of you are going to come back and say, no, Todd, it isn't. But it is. It really is, especially when you're vested heavily in an operating system. But I'm glad you've had a good experience. I really am. And I just, at this point, I don't necessarily feel that I'm could make that switch. I just don't think I could with all the different types of tools I use on essentially a daily basis. It just, there isn't the depth there on the Linux side in apps. You know, if you're using it for basic computing, great. And I know they have a number of cool apps out there, different types of open source stuff. But some things, it just doesn't measure up. In my opinion, and I know that there's other people who have different opinion on that, but that's kind of where I'm at in the space right now. All right, let's go ahead and get into, and again, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. And those of you that want to send the comments on the show tonight, geeknews@gmail.com. +1 is the country code. Telephone number is 619-342-7365. All right, let's go ahead and get into the email. Got a couple emails here from Trucker Tom. You guys make sure you check out Trucker Tom's podcast. Hey, you can find him real quick in Google. Just Trucker Tom. That'll take you straight to his website. He says, hey, Todd, monkey moves robot using mind control. A monkey fitted with a high-tech brain chip has learned to move a complex robotic arm using mind control. 400 monkey control robots. The chip implant allows the monkey to manipulate the arm by thought. The animal can operate the robot with such dexterity that it can reach out and grab a handle and turn it. Pretty cool stuff, Tom. Thanks I have for that. I have that up in the show notes. Hey, they've got an interesting one out of China here. China stops shock therapy for internet addicts. Now, I thought they'd also stop shock therapy for drug addicts as well. China orders halt to treating internet addicts with electric shock therapy. They've ordered a hospital to stop using the therapy to cure youth. Internet addiction, saying there is no scientific evidence that it worked. Do you think that didn't we like outlaw electric shock here in like in the 50s? Jeez. Oh my gosh. You know, probably all of us that listen to the show, we would be eligible for shock therapy in China. Aren't you glad that you don't live in a country that is just like, oh my gosh, simply amazing. I got an email out of Frank from Frank. Say, I got a kick out of your remarks about the brouhaha over the 15-year-old intern whose remarks have created such a fuss on the net. Thought you might be an interesting column from The Guardian. And actually, Frank, I'd actually linked this up in the last show notes. I've got that there. I appreciate it. Got an email from Joey. Says, hey, Todd, here's an interesting link. The video is quite long, but the question is asked at the 26-minute and 30-second mark. I'd like to hear your take on the answer given. All I can say is the Secretary of State asked if the State Department can use Firefox. Check this out. It's over on Lifehacker. Just zoom forward to the – love to hear – I want to hear the audience's remarks to this. The government works in an IE world, okay? Oh, it's very funny. So anyway, check the video out. Got an email from Russell. Todd, hey, you hung up on the relay operator. This is a service done on behalf of those who cannot hear or speak. Hey, Russ, I didn't hang up on him. When I took the call, I think it was after the end of the show, the relay operator said that the person that was calling, the hearing impaired person, had disconnected. So no. I've done many relay operator calls. Never hung up on anybody. So I would never do that. So, thanks for, you know, calling me out on that. But didn't do that. That wasn't the case. Got an email from Jerry, who's lives in Mission Viejo, California. He said, hey, Todd, here's a short video I recently shot with my iPhone 3GS that the Ohana might find of interest. I would appreciate a short mention of upcoming podcasts or inclusion in your show notes if possible. Thanks. Jerry, absolutely. Put up in the show notes. You guys, when you check this out, you'll see how good the video is from the iPhone 3GS. And it's the way it should have been from the beginning, in all honesty. Got an anonymous email. I've been asked not to tell the what the individual's name is, but all I can say is that the individual lives in works in Washington, D.C. He works at a federal building, and I'm not going to tell you which organization, but he did a speed test of his connection at that federal building. All I can say is, my anonymous submitter, how close were you to, like, the main connection, my friend? Is that what everyone gets? Was that from your desktop? Wait till you see these speeds, folks. This is your government spending your taxpayer dollars. I am absolutely blown. I didn't know government connections was possible to go this fast. I'm not kidding. You guys have got to look. There's a PNG file that is basically a link to an image. I'll have it in the show notes. Log on, click on it. Tell me what you think. When you see this, you are absolutely going to be blown away. Sign me up. Can I work in that building? Sign me up. Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. All right, I got an email from Doug in Toronto. He says, hey, Todd, Doug here from Toronto. I haven't emailed in a while, though I've been listening regularly. It was cool to hear you give props to the tech support at New Tech a little while back, because I've always found their support to be above and beyond. Their forums at New Tech are also a great resource, and they have mailing lists for most of their products, chock full of knowledgeable folks. They sure do. Anyway, I'm just sending you this link to an article I posted regarding Facebook's privacy settings. The rundown is that after looking into Canada's privacy commissioner has found that some serious flaws that go against Canada's Privacy Act and have made recommendations to the site for changes. Given the disproportionately large number of Canucks on Facebook, maybe this will lead to more transparency, just not for Canadians, but all Facebook users. Keep up the good work, Doug. Hey, Doug, you know something? Absolutely. And I actually heard about this on the news as well. So thanks for the point out. I have it linked up in the show notes. I know that Facebook has responded saying they're working diligently to make the changes to comply with the Canadian privacy laws. So we'll see. Got an email from Ken. He said, hey, Todd, I've heard you mention Google Voice a couple of times on the podcast, so I looked it up to see exactly what it is. I read the stuff from Google and Wikipedia and some other blogs that mention it, but I'm still not sure what it is. It sounds kind of like an organizer for phone numbers, maybe a central phone number you can use in multiple locations. Can you let me know what you're planning on using it for? Well, being that my cell phone number is everywhere, it's on my website, all over the place, it really doesn't make sense for me to start advertising my Google Voice number. But what Google Voice will do for those that you give it to, and this is the key here, you can set up multiple phone numbers. So it will ring multiple, it's smart enough to kind of know where you're at. And it will try to connect to you multiple ways. And this is generally a feature that you have to pay pretty big bucks for through some services. So that's what's cool about it, is it basically connects up to you wherever you're at, tries you on, basically you list the devices that it should try, tries you on the primary, tries you on the secondary, does everything it can do to try to connect with you, and it uses some smart technology to kind of know which phone you're on at the time. And you can avoid, minutes on your cell phone by having it, if you still have a landline in your home, and having the number forwarded into your home when you're home from work or whatever it may be. So works as an answering machine, takes the voicemails and tries to do a pretty good job in translating the actual voicemails and giving you a text readout of that. And it can SMS that to you as well. So some interesting options within it. Sign up for it. Give it a try. And if you use it, you do. If you don't, you don't. But thanks for being a listener, and thanks for checking out on me here on that. Got an email from Joey saying, hey, Todd, if you've seen this, I'm saying in just a case that you might find interesting. A private company has placed a satellite into orbit. Do you think this could affect the future of NASA if companies have more affordable means of placing satellites other than NASA? I just think it's going to make space accessibility much greater. I really do. And I got the link to that in the show notes for you. Got an email from Terrence. And Joey, you sent me a lot of stuff from geek.com. Are you trying to build PageRank for them? Definitely don't want them impacting on my page. Of course, I don't think it will. But I noticed you get some news from over there quite a bit. Hey, Todd, in regards to the IE6 comments in your last show, first, thanks for not trashing on the IT folks too hard. We would much rather upgrade everyone to IE7 or 8, but many businesses have enterprise applications that were developed for IE6, and these companies are just not that interested in upgrading something that already works. The people making decisions whether or not to spend money to refine or rewrite existing software are usually not the same ones concerned with browser security. What I believe is the single largest reason for IE6 staying power is the continued strong presence of Windows 2000 in the workplace. Many companies, including my own employer, still have a large number of desktops running Windows 2000, which does not support IE 7 or 8. Web traffic bears this out as well. IE 6 usually drops dramatically on weekends and holidays, such as Christmas or Thanksgiving. As more companies replace aging desktops, they'll also roll out newer versions of Windows, whether XP, Vista, or Windows 7. The newer version of Windows will in turn be upgraded to IE 7 or 8 and will begin to force companies to spend the time and money to upgrade their in-house applications that depend on IE 6 for usage. Keep up the good work. I've been enjoying your show for over 4.5 years now. I can't believe it's been this long, but you continue to produce quality shows. Thanks, Ken. Thanks, Terrence. So, Terrence, hey, appreciate your email on that. And, yeah, we'll try to be nice to the IT folks out there. And I kind of understand the dilemma you're in on the IE6. But, everyone, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for all the great contents. Thanks for our comments. Again, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline +1 619 342 7365. And it's been my pleasure to bring you this show. And obviously, you know, I never changed the tag Ustream, folks. We're not under show prep. Oh, man, I forget to do that. I forget to update the tagging. But for those of you that are listening, show, forget it. You guys don't worry. It's not a big deal. But we'll be back with you on Tuesday. Crazy busy here. Got a crazy busy weekend ahead. Everyone be safe. If we are able to get a roundtable out, I'll be blogging it and making an email blast. But no guarantees that we will because of everyone's schedule. But we'll keep you advised one way or the other. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for being part of the Ohana here. And, of course, thank you for staying subscribed. We'll see you on Tuesday. And for those of you on Ustream, we'll see you Monday night. Everyone take care and aloha.